Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go.
There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Swinging Through Spider-Man. I'm James Rushton, and each week I read a comic from the amazing Spider-Man line to my mate Bradley Hughes. How have you been enjoying them so far, mate?
Been one hell of a ride, that's for sure.
Yes. God damn.
Yeah.
I have breath.
Running up them stairs after telling Eddie to shut up.
It's just what we've got ahead. It's a real treat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've been tipped off by, you know, the other Spider-Man podcasts out there that like these episodes now, these are like the pinnacle. These are like the epitome of the Spider-Man telling, like, the Amazing Spider-Man saga.
So yeah, screw it. We're just going to talk about Spider-Man, obviously, the two bros who've grew up reading these comics and doing a comic, you know, podcast that looks back at all of this stuff, you know, with hindsight. As opposed to our kind of first time read through.
No, they said theirs is like Coca-Cola, like really crisp and smooth and, like, you know, developed for years. And we're like, we're homebrew punch. Like,
you know when Nando's forgets to change the syrup?
Oh, mate, no.
It's just fizzy water, but Coke coloured.
Oh, mate. Oh, I can
taste that. That's us, mate.
That's us. Not quite.
No, but in all seriousness, they said, why they wanted to do a podcast is literally because of these three issues, and we're going to be steamrolling through that because these three issues, we've already done one in the last episode.
Yes.
So this one will be two-thirds of the way through.
But the last
of the arc
was it the cat burglar?
Well, yeah, he kind of started. It started a little bit. There was threads in there.
Yeah,
I guess
sort of dangling.
But it really did.
It's all about the master planner, isn't it? That's where it all what it all comes down to.
The master planner and his theft of anything radioactive in the city.
Okay. So what's the name of this issue then?
This is... I don't know the name of this issue. I just know the arc is called If This Be My Destiny.
Ooh. That's quite Lovecraftian, isn't it?
That's quite like... Yeah, it's If This Be My... It's like just taking it. You know, just taking it.
Yeah.
It's out of your hands.
Out of your hands. Just let it roll.
No. Yeah. So, little shout out for Liam Nooney, who left us a really kind review. I think I sent that to you, and he was like,
yeah,
this is amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah, and he left us a review on iTunes. That's really cool. And, you know, thanks very much for that. So, yeah, couldn't do the episode without a shout out there, and a shout out to Make Ours Marvel, who are doing what we do, like reading comics in order, but they're doing it for the entire Marvel universe.
Jesus. That's got to be...
Jesus.
That's got to be some hearty planning.
No, that's some going. That is some going. And before, I'm not too clued up on it, but I believe they did this type of thing with Spider-Man as well back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Might have been about 2010, like, when they read through in order, each one. I think they got to, like, 51, 52. I'm not clued up at all, so someone's going to have to correct me there. But yeah, they will be soon kind of there. And I don't know about the exact maths of it all, but we'd be, you know, within a few weeks or months, we might have pushed beyond anyone else. And that sounds weird because we don't know what we're talking about.
Not a single scrap, not a single word.
No, that doesn't mean we're better. It just means we're in uncharted territory completely.
Like we said, we're just a different flavour. We're a different flavour of watered-down syrup.
Oh, yeah. I think we've been living up the intro a bit too much. There's a bit too much fat here, man. So shall we get into it?
Yes, let's dive in.
All right, mate. Where does the Master Planner live?
Oh, that was a unexpected segue because he lives underwater, doesn't he?
He lives deep under the sea. He's got a little base under there, peaceful little base. And that's where all the heists end up. Anything that's stolen ends up down under the sea. I don't know, it might be in a lake. It's somewhere under the sea. But
is it like
Bragg's,
what is it, Manhattan Harbour?
Yeah, it's somewhere around there, I guess, or even on the East Coast somewhere. It could be quite far out.
Sebastian over there, Underdussy.
Exactly. But he brags, you don't really see his face. And actually, you do see who it is, but I'm not going to dare reveal that tidbit right now, because I think that's a weak part of this comic that it tells you literally the second you turn the page.
But you know what? The reason I come and listen to these podcasts is to be along for the ride, and I'm definitely along for the ride. So reimagine how this should be told.
Yeah, I'm reimagining it.
I'm up for the journey.
I'll come out and say it, they fucked up. He's bragging, you hear his voice and you see his face, he's bragging about his victory, he's got everything he needs to act on his plans, almost. That's it for the master planner for now, because we need to catch up with Peter Parker, of course, the Amazing Spider-Man. But in his civvies, he's heading to the Daily Bugle to deliver some photos to earn some cash to, of course, J. Jonah Jameson. However, he is spotted by Betty Brant. Now, she's been trying to get in touch with him ever since Pete learned of Ned Leeds' proposal to Betty, the marriage proposal. But he's just been, like, blanking her.
It's never a good strategy. Like,
I'm edging towards hashtag Team Betty here. Because
I don't know.
These blokes need to just give a binary answer. It's a yes or no, you know.
Well, to be fair, I don't think she'd say yes to Ned Leeds, because obviously if she's like, you know what, Ned, I'm going to have to keep you hanging just so I can see whether I get a better offer elsewhere. You should not be marrying that person. Straight up. It should automatically be a no if you're in two doubts.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that's a kind of advice, you know, a face value advice you'd give. But this is not a good situation. And although I think Betty, not a villain at now, but at the start she was a bit more difficult. What I would say is, this is a situation where she seems very on top of it.
for once in her life.
Yeah, for once, this seems to be going well. And I've got an inkling that it's not going to go well, because she's giving too much leeway to Pete.
Like, oh, yeah, you never give Pete too much leeway. He will take advantage.
From that artwork, you can see Pete say, I hoped she'd be out to lunch. From our knowledge of Betty, she is already out to lunch. She's always out to lunch.
She's never at breakfast, never at 2, because she's always out to lunch.
It's always 12 p.m. It's always noon.
Not even sneaking in a brunch.
Between noon and the modern lunchtime of 1 p.m.
Yeah, I have my lunch at 1.
Realizing that she actually loves Pete and hates Spider-Man, Pete is kind of conflicted. He can't ever be with her, mate, because he can't be honest.
He can. He just... Basically, tell her what's going down, put the ball in her court. That's what I'd say.
Yeah. Or you give this woman who could be quite unhinged your deepest, darkest secret that will... It wouldn't ruin his life. He thinks it would.
No, he wouldn't.
I don't think
To be fair, would. There's a lot of people, if Peter just straight up told them what was going on, his whole life would be so much easier and so much better.
Yeah, there's not a lot of moving parts here, because in the films, obviously, he's got a lot going on, but he's just got his aunt.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. All he has to do is make sure his aunt's safe, and I think that's an easy job. By the way, his aunt's on her deathbed, so it might not be a problem that much longer anyway.
Rough. That is sandpaper rough.
That's Pete's way of thinking, though, is that, oh, because I can't be honest with Betty and because she loves me, I need to just be nasty to her.
What a prick.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying Team Betty.
Team Betty.
Yeah. So
In the case of Spider-Man versus Betty, we declare Spider-Man guilty.
I'm leaning that way now, and I think there's a lot of talk about Betty being this and that, but Pete's decision there is not one of maturity.
Nah.
It's one, that's very playground, that is, Pete.
Yeah. Well, in the last issue, he was sort of like, he was mulling these problems over, and he ended up ignoring possibly new friends.
Oh, yeah. He was like locked up in his head. Pete's plan is he'll piss her off and that will push her away. The perfect moment arrives when Ned Leeds butts into the conversation.
This guy.
Ned Leeds tries to reason with Peter and tries to calm him down because he's agitated. He just wants Peter to give Betty the answer any answer, regardless of what it means for him. He just wants Pete to level up. Pete flips out and hits Ned.
Pushes him.
You can see that.
I was about to say this is proper shoves him. Talking about a kid here that wouldn't fight Flash in a boxing ring with boxing gloves on because he was scared of killing him.
Oh yeah, he's got a lot going on. You've got to understand there's a lot going on in his life.
Yeah.
But he is over the deep end, and I would say that Pete is also out to lunch.
Yeah, he's having a liquid lunch. He's getting violent.
Yeah, Jameson spots that, Pete's boss. Pete kind of tries to react by saying, "I've got photos for you, pal." Jameson chucks the photos at him and kicks him out the building.
Rough.
Pete storms out the Bugle, leaving a final comment to Betty. And, he's got other things on his mind, though, as we said, namely the health of his Aunt May's beloved Aunt May. The situation there, pal, the doctor's fear for her mortality, because... Now, can you guess why before you go into the artwork? Why she might be in this situation?
Couldn't tell you, mate. Look,
it has been thrust into our face.
No.
It is a major plot point of one of the comics we've read so far.
Is it because Peter's radioactive?
It is because, technically, yeah. It is because back in, I believe it was the 10th issue of The Amazing Spider-Man, Pete gave her a blood transfusion.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah. And everyone just sort of glossed over it.
Yeah. No, she's fucking dying now.
Oh, mate. Oh, God.
Radiation, it's technically Pete is cancerous. He's mutation. It's a cancerous mutation.
Yeah, it's
so technically
Watchman
Pete
style?
Has just injected his aunt full of cancer.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Full of a very aggressive form of cancer that takes and mutates the body. And it's worked for Pete. But his aunt's fucked.
Well, Pete's got the spider powers as well to like combat the cancer. It's almost like the cancer mutated his cells to be better cells.
Yes. Well, because of the radioactive blood in her body, she's a goner.
Fuck.
Now, how would you think Pete feels?
I couldn't even put... He obviously feels solely responsible.
Well, he got his uncle killed, and now he has got his aunt killed.
Jesus. I couldn't put myself in his shoes. Like, holy fuck.
If you thought this boy was low when his uncle got shot to death, you got a fucking... No, he goes home and sees a photo of his Aunt May and Uncle Ben happy, and that sends him into a rage where he kind of actually gets to grips with what his uncle told him and, hey, be responsible, you know. No, his uncle didn't even tell him. It was just a fucking panel.
Yeah, it was a panel, yeah.
It was the narrator. It was Stan Lee just saying it. Just added, like, fucking it on the end of the comic.
Could you imagine how tentative that moment would have been for Spider-Man? Like, just walking off into the sunset. And he just gets Stan Lee creeping out of the shadows. It was like, it comes to be that there's, with great power comes great responsibility. No, it's must, isn't it?
Yeah.
Always gets paraphrased wrong.
It always does. But no, he didn't say fuck all. Pete's alone with no guidance. And smashes his fucking house up.
Jesus. Mate, your house is already a shit tip. You've already got the fucking debt collectors knocking on your door like, yo, money. Like, don't fuck it up even more. You've already got to pay medical bills. You could have sold some of that shit that you broke.
Now imagine if his aunt actually gets better and comes home to thee.
That'd be the fucking worst.
Oh, yeah, I know you've just recovered from an aggressive form of what amounts to fucking leukemia that I gave you, by the way. So you've got nowhere to sleep or sit tonight. You're just going to have to, like, lie on this pile.
This pile of broken
smashed up fucking broken planks. Now, he flips out and he swears that it won't happen again and that he can't this is the if this is the way he basically pays back his aunt and uncle, he's disgusted with himself.
Mm.
I would, well, yeah, technically, yeah. However, a moment of clarity arrives as one person who can help him.
Who's this?
That person, mate, it's Dr. Kurt Connors, formerly known as the Lizard. We haven't seen him in time.
No, he's been lying low. He's been ruling the Lizard people, as we remember.
If there's one motherfucker that owes Peter a favour.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's him.
Without a shadow.
Because this guy could have just been eating fucking bugs for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
No, he's moved to New York as well.
Oh, how convenient.
Well, you're not going to do all that research in the fucking swamp, are you?
Well, now he's not lizard-fied.
Amazon don't deliver there.
Amazon don't deliver to the Amazon.
It's Everglades.
Is he Everglades? Oh, okay.
They don't. I don't think they deliver to the Amazon either.
How? No, I thought Amazon would deliver everywhere. Not with those sweet drones.
If someone's in the Everglades, order any parcel and see if that Prime works. Spider-Man nabs a sample of Aunt May's blood before presenting it to Dr. Connors. Of course, that man owes Spider-Man a favour because of the tangle back. That was early, that
it was.
It was
very early. Yeah, if I remember correctly, Spider-Man helped save Kurt's family, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, and actually helped Kurt not be a fucking lizard.
Mm-hmm. And then...
So this guy actually was a massive lizard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, straight lizard. Like, huge lizard in a lab coat.
Connors thinks he can sort May out, but he's going to need a bit of help. A new serum called ISO 36 is being developed on the west coast of America, and it's something that could possibly help clear out radiation.
Is that a photography
Spidey
point?
In seconds.
That's a photography point, isn't it?
No, it's just that's. I don't know.
I
wouldn't put it past them, but I also doubt the intelligence.
Yeah, good point.
Not that they're stupid. I just think that's a fucking tremendous fucking link there. It's been developed on the west coast of America. It could help clear out radiation. Spidey in seconds demands that Connors order it. And he's going to pay up as well. Spidey fucking sells while Peter sells off his entire home laboratory that he spent years saving up for. You know, he's a brilliant biologist, isn't he? You know.
Yeah, needs must. But how's he going to create his web?
Stocking up on it, I guess. I don't know. He sells a lot of fucking microscopes and beakers and stuff.
Okay.
I mean, needs must, mate, I believe.
Yeah, needs must.
He gives the cash to Connors. He doesn't stop there. He actually helps set up so the serum can be used. He helps Connors in his prep. There is an issue, though, mate, because there's one fella hanging around who needs radioactive stuff.
Oh, shit. It's the Master Planner?
Of course it is, yeah. The Master Planner's goons. The second that fucking ISO 36 arrives, ISO 36, second it arrives by a courier on a private jet, that courier is fucking battered.
To be fair, it'd be so easy to find the Master Planner. Anyway, it'd just be any cunt walking around New York City with a Geiger counter. Does he hear that tick, tick, ticking? He's just like, that's the prick.
You could fucking smell him. He's vomiting all the time.
Yeah, pure.
This is more radioactive stuff, isn't it? It's the narrative thread continues of radioactive shit. The courier's battered. The serum is stolen. Connors tells Spider-Man, and you can probably imagine that Spider-Man does not take this well.
No, I'm just expecting like exponential growth. Just roiding out.
This is very much the Where's Francis scene in Deadpool.
Oh, shit.
I'd say, I mean, what Deadpool does in that film is pretty violent, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would say that Spider-Man probably causes more pain because he doesn't kill people, so they've got to live with what he's done.
Oh, but like we're talking broken bones.
We'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that. Okay. Spidey knows there's only one man who can help. That's Fred Foswell. So twice in a row, he's got the right man. Fred Foswell, formerly the Big Man, he's glued into the underworld. So Spider-Man literally swings through the streets until he finds him, picks him up and puts him on a rooftop.
Do you reckon he's sorted out his mask by now?
There's no mask. This is Fred. This is just straight up old Fred. Straight
old Freddy Foswell.
Yeah, Spider-Man puts him on a rooftop and says, yo, find out who the Master Planner is, and I'll give you the scoop of a century. And Foswell's down for it and says, don't fuck me over, though, because I'll be a big enemy to you. And hey, get me off this rooftop, maybe.
No. No! Like, remember when you were playing Spider-Man 2 back in the day and just used to press the fucking jump button? He's like flashing in the corner and you let go of it. You just fuck off in the
Oh, when you had to carry those fox back to the hospital?
Yeah, that mission.
That one, yeah. And the pizza, the sound, the song.
Oh, God.
Never forget. Spider-Man can't wait for Foswell's answer, so he goes, where's Francis? This is it. He basically goes throughout the underworld, smashing up every single hideout and battering people.
I kind of can't help but feel like he should be doing this anyway.
Like, yeah, this would help.
This would help, like, clear up the whole city. Just a show of power to every...
You're right there. He does wait to get smacked up a bit, doesn't he? He does have a thing of waiting for problems.
It's proactive. He just sort of swings about, and then the crime fighting is a... it's a side effect, really.
Oh, yeah, he fucking terrifies him as well. He's chucking cars at him, and they're leaving, and he doesn't want them to go. So he pins them down, basically.
With a car.
Yeah, he's running out of time, though, because he needs to find the master planner. Aunt May's health is fading, and Connors isn't too sure that the serum will even work. So it's all fucking in the air, mate. Like, and I'm telling you, the way the panels are laid out, it goes from Spider-Man to something else. So you're like, fucking hell. This is going off. It's gone off.
It's just like the pot has boiled over.
Yeah. The house is flooding.
What?
The house is
flooding. The pot's boiled over.
The pot's boiled over.
Okay, I'm with you now. I thought you were talking about the comic again. I was like, yeah. My bad. All right, carry on.
Spidey does get a bit of luck. During his search of the underworld, he does stumble onto a trapdoor. Thanks to his Spidey sense, it allows him to detect it. He explores within and he spots the master
plan. Spidey sense is Mary Sue vision. I don't give a fuck. It is Mary Sue vision.
No, he proper does stumble onto it. It's like, oh, fucking hell. This is the only place they could be and they're not here, but they actually are here. So he has done the work, mate. He has put in the graph.
I can't take that away from him, man.
Not like he's just stumbled on it. I say stumble on it. He did stumble on it. But not after 3 hours of searching. He explores within, and the entire Master Planner's gang are there, and they all look at him at the same time.
To be fair, I can actually sympathise with that. Because before, when I was younger, I was a bit chapper. To be fair, I may have been wary of McKenzie and all that sort of stuff, but I walked into a Games Workshop once thinking that it was like a game or a game station, just like they would have, like, you know, PlayStation games or Xbox games or whatever. And as I walked in, I've never been stared down so hard in all my life. It's just like...
So Games Workshop is the Warhammer figures, isn't it?
It's just like, you do not belong. And I just slowly backed away out of the room. Like, there is no feeling quite like having every single person in a room simultaneously just staring you in the whites of your eyes. It's horrible.
No, it's uncomfortable. And especially when they try and make you buy stuff as well.
Oh, yeah, of course.
£80 of shit I need to paint myself. Please.
You're paying it so you can paint it yourself?
Yeah, it's a bit... Just, they should give me a discount for putting in the graft. So Spider-Man stumbled on this trapdoor. The entire gang's looking at him, and they go fucking batter him, basically. But he's windmilling. He's got his arms swinging, just screaming.
Two-stepping.
Yeah, and they're like, the bloke has gone mad. Fellas, the bloke has gone. They all just, you know, bum-rush him, pile on.
To be fair, it's all to do with marketing, isn't it? It's like, oh, it's the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. What a fucking pussy. And he comes in and he fucking tears a car down a fucking alleyway. And he rips a fucking door off of its hinges. And he comes in.
All you see is a fucking Chrysler Cruiser just spinning in the air towards you. Fucking hell. Yeah, no, he has absolutely went apeshit.
Where's Francis?
No, it's probably the best comparison I could make from anything relevant. No, I know,
to be fair, I can see the panel that there is at the moment, and Spider-Man is just bowling through these henchmen, And bowling is the word I'll use because they're all falling like motherfucking pins. And he's like, you're the ones who sold their ISO 64. It's a mouthful. It is a mouthful.
You're the one who stole the mouthful.
Yeah, I am. That's what it is. He's like, oh, he's fucking probably Batman voicing as well.
Yeah, it doesn't. Where is it?
Where is it? Where is the serum?
That's it. They're all fucking screaming.
There's one of them literally diving out of the way. It's just like, this man's gone mad.
Yeah, I'm out. I am not paid well enough. I will be consulting the union.
Check, please.
About my workload. Yeah. No, they're all fighting, but he realises time.
He's making his way out the door. He's like tipping his little hat, just like, no, P60, P45 in the post, please, lad. See you later. Bye-bye. No,
he does remember to clock out, though.
Good guy.
No, he fights. Spider-Man needs to escape, though, because time is of the essence. So he heads to confront the master planner finally. This base obviously leads to the underwater one.
I've just come across on the notes. Sorry.
Yeah. The master planner has been watching all of this all along, and he's using the ISO 36 as bait. This has all been master planned because he's the master planner, true to name.
Shit.
So Spidey heads deeper into the lair, into the underwater section. Spidey approaches the can of ISO 36 that's literally left on the floor with a light fucking on it. Like,
oh shit, is it like fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark style?
Yeah, but he's creepy. So he jumps on the roof because he's a bit nervous, and his Spidey sense is like flaring to fuck.
Oh yeah, like, oh, this is totally normal. It's probably the smartest move Spider-Man's ever done.
He creeps onto the roof and is electrocuted, pinned to the floor by just pain.
Oh, shit.
The master planner appears, and Brad, if you wouldn't mind turning that audio on, we all head underwater. Under the sea, in an octopus's garden, in the shade, 32 floors, to this building, this undersea facility, 32 for each and every single one of the Colonel's finest herbs and spices that still remain unknown. It is the ISO 36. That will complete my research and help me unlock the Colonel's formula so that I, Dr. Octopus, can finally establish a chicken joint of prestige. Hello, Spider-Man. We meet again for the final time.
Holy shit! Oh, man. I can't believe it's Dr. Octopus.
It's fucking Dr. Octopus.
That's madness.
Whole fucking time.
Whole time. Mate, kudos on the audio, by the way. I fucking really want to play Bioshock now.
No, that is fucking great, isn't it? I really fucking enjoyed making that.
Yeah, really fucking well done, man.
We do have to confront the song Octopus's Garden, because you can just... Like, the Beatles are a pretty serious band. They do their kiddie music a bit. They do the light stuff. The fucking song Octopus's Garden, mate, is just about chilling with an octopus, and I don't...
Was that the LSD days, though?
I don't even know if it was. That's a scary thing. I think it was... I forgot the album it was on, and I'm pretty sure we'll stand corrected here. But you can just imagine them just fucking sitting around in a room, and just Ringo's there like, John... Paul, George, I've come to the conclusion that we need a song about an octopus. I'm just all fucking staring at him.
The thing is John Lennon looks up at him. He just pushes his glasses from like the point of his nose up to the bridge of his nose. He's just like, yes.
As long as you're singing it, Ringo. No, yeah, that's a fucking weird song, but it is Dr. Octopus all along in his perfectly custom-built octopus's garden under the sea.
I should have fucking known, really, considering it was underwater, and that's the last time we saw Dr. Octopus. He just sort of, like, fled underwater, didn't he, at the beach?
I'll tell you what, though. Despite the fact Spider-Man has fallen directly into the hands of Dr. Octopus, and it's been trapped, it's a trap, basically. Obviously, it's a trap. This is pretty much Dr. Octopus walking into a trap as well.
Oh?
Because Spidey shits himself, so he's fully scared, but he's fucking raging.
He's got his nerd rage on.
So he's got every bit of adrenaline available to him, pumping through him, and he's just like, fuck, that's the strongest bloke I've ever. Now I've got to fucking kill him.
Just outright just kill him. The thing is, man, yeah, imagine him getting so pumped up, he just pops like a rage boner in his his little latex like undies and that. Like imagine Spider-Man roided up to fuck, and you just see that. He's like, he's schlong against his thigh coming at you.
Yeah.
Mate.
It's like a Celtic warrior fucking running at the Romans.
That was the idea, and it was just like, got nothing to hide, man. Like, he's scared because he's not wearing armor.
No, yeah. Fucking hell. He goes at Doc Ock, goes at him.
Fucking windmilling.
So he's all caught up, tries to tangle his arms into a knot. Then he realized, hang on, this isn't working. I need brute strength. They just both spend about 5 minutes chucking heavy machinery at each other. To the point where Doc Ock actually submits.
Jesus Christ. Is that that wasn't insured.
That's pretty much it. He's like, we're both underwater. We're both going to die if you keep chucking shit around.
You're telling me Octopus created this underwater lab and he was just like, not once should I get a scuba diver kit. We know he's got one. That's the killer. We know he has one.
It's like fucking GTA. They didn't take the equipment. He just had to pay the fine when he got arrested. He still got the equipment. No ammo.
Oh, shit. But we know that the police department are just fucking incompetent when it comes to, the whole entire New York area in these comics. Like, why would you give Scorpion back his fucking suit?
Imagine them stumbling on this crime scene. You've got a dead supervillain, a dead superhero in an undersea base. They just like fucking stumble on it. Literally stumble on it. They'll be walking downstairs for ages with torches. Go, where would you believe it? New York of all places. Oh,
it's pretty obvious what happened here, boys. Wrap it up. Wrap it up.
They just close the door. No paperwork.
That's what it was. It's like, Dave. I didn't see anything if you didn't see anything. Nope, not at all, Jerry.
So they're chucking shit at each other, mate. There's windows. There are windows. Glass windows. These windows do get cracked.
Okay, I see where this is going.
Okay, so Spider-Man's brute force is too much for Doc Ock, and Doc Ock's brute force is too much for Spider-Man. They both chuck so much shit at each other that the base falls apart.
You know, when it comes to being a supervillain, it all comes down to location, location, location. Like, if you're going to have a sky base, you best believe the sky base is coming down. If you have a water base, you best believe it's getting flooded. You got a land base, well, I don't know.
How could I prevent true real estate under the sea?
No gods, no kings, only man.
No, they're both fucking crushed.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And the windows are open, cracked, so water leaks in because they are under the sea. This fucking not a good situation.
Yeah, Spider-Man is just... his whole entire world is falling apart, and on top of that, his world could literally be ending.
Yeah, so he's thinking, the first thing, admittedly, he thinks about Ock. Where's Ock? Oh shit, where's Ock? I fucking killed him. No, Ock is gone.
Because he was a smart little octopus and got his fucking self out of there, grabbed his scuba suit, and now he's fucking gone.
You just imagine him screaming, oh god, you're falling apart again.
Save the chicken, save the chicken.
No, he's actually quite muscly now.
Oh yeah, he got a henchman, he's been doing time.
No, he did do the good thing. No, he's just screaming. He's out of there. But Spider-Man is fucking pinned down by the biggest piece of machinery I've ever... That thing can only be described as machinery. It's
the whole panel.
Oh, he's fucking under it, and he can't lift it up. He's actually fucked. Not only that, the water levels are increasing around him. So he's pinned to the floor. He's going to drown. That ISO 36 is like a fingertip away from him.
Yeah, as you well. Can see it. Water's just dripping on it. And oh, mate, this is heart-wrenching.
Let's remember as well that his aunt is flatlining and Dr. Connors is struggling to fix a cure alone.
Mate, if I could take you back a couple of months when you turned around to me and said, Brad, I've got an idea for a podcast. Now, listen, hear me out, right? What I want to do is I want to read The Amazing Spider-Man from start to finish, and I want to document the journey. He's just like, yeah, it's wacky, zany, 60s fun. I was not prepared for this sort of heartbreak.
Oh, no, he's fucking dying.
Oh, yeah, he's fucking gone.
Like, I genuinely don't know how he gets out of this unless Connors comes in as a fucking lizard.
Oh, what the Fantastic Four? Like,
or Doc Ock lifts it up or something and goes, you're my greatest villain. And, well, I love you.
And then just caresses him.
Yeah, they both die like fucking Fight Club at the end. Everything's blowing up. No, he's failed, mate. He has actually failed. And nothing but death awaits him as this room floods. He's pinned to the floor. And Stan Lee actually wishes happy web slinging at the end.
Cheers, Stan. Yeah, tear out of fucking heart.
I hope I'm going to read the letters in the next issue. And I want to hear from some parents who are fucking raging that their 6-year-old has just been watched their hero die. The dude's fucked. But I've never read a comic where the superhero has been this fucked.
Yeah, it's proper downtrodden. Like,
even I can't remember a Batman comic where he's like, even when that Robin, one of the Robins dies, he's never even this fucked. He can like walk around. He's not being pinned down.
Yeah, but like that's different though. He essentially lost the son.
Yeah, but it's like,
I mean, don't get me started talking about Batman. That's a whole other thing.
He can move on and there's life there. This guy's fucking dying. Oh, he's let everyone down. Well, this guy's sinking. This guy's fucked.
He's drowning as well, which probably be the worst way to die.
Oh yeah, it's either the crushing takes him or the drowning takes him, or he's just going to lie there forever and there might be an air bubble, so he's just going to fucking be stuck there forever.
No, it reminds me of like, you remember the old Sonic days and you get that really fucking like anxious music, you know, that.
Oh yeah. Got to get them air bubbles.
Yeah, you got to.
Fucking. But no, I believe Doc Ock went home and found the Sinister Five, the other members of the Sinister Six, and they all got around the table and poured one out, mate.
They poured the gravy onto the chicken. That's what they do.
A fine celebratory meal. But no, that's it.
Which one of you got the sweet corn? I only asked for gravy.
It's fucked. It's fucked for everyone. The supervillain's got no one to fight. His aunt's dying, yeah. Connors is struggling on his own, and Spider-Man is trapped under the biggest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life, and he's drowning as well. So we'll see how he gets out of this one, if he gets out of this one next time. But man, imagine if you had to wait a fucking month for this.
Mate, I don't even want to wait a week.
Well, it does. The situation, as I know, I'm not fully equipped to comment on it, but there should be a resolution fairly quickly.
Well, 700 issues says otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. But it depends if he gets out in one piece.
Yes,
like, I would not be stable after that.
No, Spider-Man's mentality must be all over the fucking shop, man. Like, we already know he's in a very dark place at the moment. Like, literally not even interacting with people that are saying hi to him. That's how dark place that he's in at the moment.
Yeah, life is shit and it's probably going to end for him now. So,
oh yeah, just the final nail in the coffin.
But yeah, I think we should say adios there. Because yeah, that's it, mate. We've got nothing more to say, really. And we'll get into the main bit, the finale to this 3-part story next time. Thank you very much for listening. I've been James. That's Brad. I think you enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a very good episode, and I'm genuinely looking forward to the next one. Like, I need to know what happened to Doc. I need to know how this resolves. I need to know whether or not if Aunt May is going to pull through.
Fucking, I don't know. Like, obviously, there's 700 odd issues, but what does this set up?
Yeah. What? How's Peter going to react after this? We know he's in a dark place, but will he get out of it? Will he make himself better? We don't know.
Yeah, and we'll find out next week. Hope you've enjoyed this one. I hope you're looking forward to the next one. As always, we'll see you very soon. Goodbye.
Oh, one more thing. Before we forget, we're on Spotify.
Oh, yeah, we are on Spotify.
We did it, everyone. We did it, folks. We did it. We're on Spotify. The owner's daughter has been released back to her. She's missing a few toes, but we eventually got there.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do that, Spotify. At all. We didn't do that at all. But no, it's we're actually on everything now, I believe. As far as I know, which is a massive, lengthy achievement for us. So, yeah, thank you very much. And we'll see you soon, maybe on Spotify.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.